It's all national on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sportsnet Plus. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Not too far off away. And let's bring in our insider who had a tremendous day today, Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. Frege.
Kipper.
Out of all the trade
regional panel
out of all the trade deadline days you've done, this was another one.
You know, it was busy. You know, there's always one that comes out of nowhere, and that was the I heard Vegas was doing something big. But I had no idea it was going
to
be that.
It's very seldom, and we like to think, and we know that we've got the best insiders in the country, led by you. Hurdle's name never came up. How often has that ever happened where a name's not on anybody's trade board? It's just boom.
That's rare. Like, for example, I think yesterday the one that kind of came out of nowhere was Byram for Mittelstadt, but you knew there was a chance that both those guys could be traded, mm-hmm. right? So Hurdle was playing when San Jose came through Toronto, and we asked him, and he said, I'm going to wait to the end of the season before I make any decisions. Couture said the same thing. So, Nick, you're right. Like, he was nowhereville. And plus, he's hurt. So I never even thought of that was going to be the guy. Like, I really thought, like I said, I was racking my brain all day on what it could be that Vegas was doing. And you're right. I never even saw it. I never heard Hurdle. Never saw it coming.
Was there a team out there today that you heard was involved in a lot that didn't?
Boston.
They didn't get what they wanted. They didn't quite pull the trigger.
Boston, you could tell, and I watched a little bit of Don Sweeney's availability. He wouldn't answer any questions about Ullmark and what happened there.
So what happened there? It sounds like he maybe had a deal to L.A. possibly, was asked to waive, didn't want to waive.
Well, all I can tell you about that is that he has a half-league no trade. And I'd heard he was not willing to change it in season. Now, did he?
He didn't have LA on. He had LA on the I'm not going list. 16 teams, I heard.
He has half the league.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know that the LA, I'm not saying the LA thing is wrong. I'm just saying I don't know that it's true yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there was definitely somewhere that they thought about sending him, and he made it very clear that if they're not on my list, I'm not going. But Nick and Justin, I heard there was an Eastern team that took a long look at Ullmark. Like, I think Boston had a deal going with another Eastern team, and I think it was goalie and defenseman Boston and potentially defenseman coming back to the Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't pinned it down yet. I don't know what it is. But there was something else, and I don't know if that one broke up. I don't know if that one broke up because Ullmark had him on the list or the deal just broke up.
Yeah.
But there was something in the Eastern Conference, too, for sure.
The goaltending market shrunk,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
But we still saw Jake Allen leave the Montreal Canadiens to New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I'm going, like, where's the sense of urgency now, New Jersey?
They got Kakin and Ed Allen. They're like, we fixed it.
Well, what it allows them to do is, number one, what this says to me, and you're right, Nick, it's late, but what it says to me is that, A, they think they might be worried that these two kids are getting shell-shocked in the NHL.
Dawes and Schmid.
Yeah. Now we're gonna protect them with 20 games. So let's take our 13th pick overall and bring in Allen so we can turn it into, 16, 17, 18th overall? Come on.
It's a test drive. There's no question it's a test drive for him and the other guy. Like, I got to say, this year, the other guy statistically, Kakinen, he's, like, goals saved above expected. He was one of the best in the league for a long time until it finally gave out there.
To me, this has maybe a feel of Fitzgerald wanted to go big with the Markstrom.
Yes, for sure.
Or could that have been the Ullmark one?
And the analytics department won out.
You hate that analytics department, eh?
I don't hate it, but I know the battles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know the battles that go on with teams.
And you think it's there in particular?
I think there's a disagreement a little bit in that under that roof on, okay, how much do you want to spend on this position?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also, I would also believe that in that particular case, it's what you think you should pay for Markstrom. Like,
yes,
that I wonder if that's even the bigger question than what you spend at the position, because I heard Toffoli. So they traded Toffoli today to Winnipeg. I thought the Jets had a great day. I thought they were really good today. But Toffoli, I heard, was looking at a Killorn-like deal. That's kind of what he wanted, and Killorn's at 4x6-ish. And I heard the Devils weren't willing to do term. So, and that's also a very analytically based decision, Nick. So yeah. I think the bigger question is not so much how much you're spending in goal, but what's the price you should pay to trade for Markstrom.
Well, the other thing I did here, too, was Markstrom was all set to go to New Jersey.
Yes.
And he wanted to go to New Jersey. Yes. He's got a no move.
Mm-hmm.
So if he wants to go to New Jersey, then why do we have to spend top dollar for him? He wants to come here, and he's got no move, which means...
So you think New Jersey held...
We're in the driver's seat here.
They are definitely... I think they definitely believe that. Like, to me, like Fitzgerald said today, this doesn't prevent him from going out and getting someone in the summer. And I believe that guy will be Markstrom if it's still available to them. But, you know, one thing that happened this week is Noah Hanifin wanted to go to Tampa. Mm-hmm. And it's going to work out for him very well in Vegas. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him sign an extension there. But he was kind of like, Tampa's my team. That's my one team. Now, he didn't have the no-move clause Markstrom had. And Calgary said, you know what? We're going to send you over here instead. So as you know, Nick and Justin, it becomes like a little bit of who's got the – it becomes a little bit of an alpha battle over who's got control. I still think there's a chance he ends up in New Jersey, but – we'll see where it all goes.
Surprised Rob Blake didn't get a goalie at all.
I heard they were looking at Riley Smith. I think they liked the idea of Toffoli. They didn't have much flexibility there. And if this is true, you know, he couldn't get Ullmark. Saros was not available. I don't know that Markstrom was available. Who else are you going to get? Like, you know, they feel if they play the way they play, you got to find someone who's better than Talbot. Who was available that was better than Talbot for the price he would have had to pay?
Tough day, I think, if you're a Kings fan, though, and you watch Colorado and yes. all the other West teams load up, and you're in the mix going, well, who's going to wipe us in the first round? Like,
first round of the playoffs in the West is going to be unbelievable.
Which brings me to the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
They didn't end up doing anything more, obviously doing a lot of their work ahead of time. There's rumors that Phil Kessel might sign with them, but nothing ends up happening there. Were they trying? And
yes.
They
were not. They wanted Gensel. They absolutely wanted Gensel, but they didn't have what it would take to get him. Like, you look at that package, they couldn't do that. They weren't willing to give up the prospects that their top prospects that they have, understandably. I think they were in on Toffoli. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they were able to beat the price that the Jets gave for Toffoli. And after that, it really sounded like listening to Patrick Alvin after that, they really didn't like much else that was out there. Look, I think this, Lindholm has had a really rough year.
I would not have liked hearing my name getting traded again if I were him.
I completely agree with that. But you know what? Like, I'm going to Lindholm and I'm saying, you know, like, it was tough for you in Calgary. It's been tough for you so far in LA. There's a big contract on the line for you. Like, that's why I like Mantha going to Vegas, because he knows that he's been motivated. He's been playing hard. Lindholm has to get going. Mm-hmm. Like, someone has to say to him, you're leaving money on the table if you don't really get going here.
Yeah.
And that's why I think if you're Vancouver, he's the best player available to you if he can finally figure it out.
He can wipe out a rocky regular season with a fantastic playoff.
1,000%. 1,000%. And that's why, like... And it's in his own best interest. They've got to be saying to him, you're leaving money on the table if you don't get going.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts, and fresh off this year's trade deadline, along with Jeff Merrick. Terrific job, as always, you two. Elliot, you had mentioned Hanifin and the Tampa Bay Lightning losing out on his services. They go to Matt Dumba.
Yeah.
They went to Anthony DeClaire.
Yep.
Desperate.
Like, not exactly big names now at this point for the Tampa Bay Lightning? Is this just an organization that's spent, and have Stanley Cups to show for it? But is this the end of Tampa Bay now being in a position to keep the engine greased?
Nick, that is a great question, and I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, over the years, one of my sayings is, I do not underestimate the Lightning because they got a lot of guys going to the Hall of Fame there. But you look at Washington, they're starting to turn down. Pittsburgh, obviously starting the turn down. And I'm wondering about Tampa, too. First of all, they don't have a lot to trade, so that's number one. But number two, it's weird, but does it make sense for them to trade their best things right now? Like, I actually like these two guys as fits to pick up for them. I think Duclair and Dumbo will help them. But the Islanders are 2 points out with two games in hand. Like, who are you betting on right now?
How about Lou doing nothing? Lou's just like, we're fine.
I'm sure he tried stuff. Yeah. We'll just never know. Yeah. Like, he's taking that with him to the grave. Like, we're just never going to know what he tried to do. But, like, Nick, like, would you swing for the fences now? Or like Isaac Howard or whatever else you have, are you swinging for the fences right now if you're Tampa?
Didn't see it. Didn't see the Leafs do the same thing in terms of having top prospects in their system and a first rounder that I think they offered to Calgary but didn't spend it. So
they offered it. I think they had their first rounder for Tanev and Zadorov. And I wouldn't be surprised, Nick, if they tried
individually
some other...
Individually there,
sorry? No, like together for the first before they were traded.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they tried to trade for them both.
Yeah.
And when Zadorov got traded to Vancouver, mm-hmm. they offered their one for both guys.
Hmm. And instead of the third.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Like this is purely my opinion based on what I think they were thinking. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to get both Dowd and Edmondson. Mm-hmm. And Washington just said it's going to cost you more than that.
Speaking of Washington, they wanted Kuznetsov out.
Yeah, it was time. He wanted to go too. It was time.
Okay, and I got into this a little bit with JB at the top of our show, and I'm really surprised that Carolina would go take a guy like Kuznetsov, who's fresh off the NHL Player Assistant Program. And to me, are they 100% sure that this guy's ready to come back and be a contributor here? How long is it a long shot here, Elliot, that you're taking a chance here that he's ready for this challenge?
Look, I think when it comes, it's, I don't know if I would call it a long shot, but it's a risk. There's no question about that. You know, I think it comes down to, Nick, how do you feel about him at $3.9 million? Because, like, I think everybody remembers in 2018,
I'm fine with the money.
He was an all-world player.
I'm fine with the money, Elliot. I just say I've been in dressing rooms that if a guy's not there 100% and, you know, whatever issues that he's had, are they put away now? Are you ready to come in and be part of this team and play nicely in the sandbox here? That's all.
Well, I think he said today, this is my last chance. Like, he knew that, like, he was put on, like, that. How humbling is that? He got put on waivers.
If he were to...
But that tells me how much Washington wanted him
out. Yeah, you're
right. And now I'm bringing... But the thing, it's a bigger picture than the money.
You got to go through the room first. Like, first of all, there's no question they don't do this without Brendan Moore's approval. And I heard they also talked to some of the players. And they supported it.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. And if anybody can get this guy, you know, focused, it's Brendan Moore, for sure.
If he were to, you know, go back into player assistance at some point, is there complete salary cap relief from that? Is there...
I have to check the rules, but there are situations where players can come off the cap. I have to check. Mm-hmm. Like, he was off their cap this time because I believe it was his second time in the program. Mm-hmm. So I know he was off their cap. I don't know it off the top of my head. I have to check.
Yeah.
But there are situations where there's relief.
I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes, obviously a pretty good deadline. Like, if Kuznetsov can contribute offensively for them, you know, then making another ad, how do you feel about what they did?
I think the two best teams in the East are Carolina and Florida.
Yeah.
Like, I think they are. I think, you know, the Rangers, I bet they're going to look at this deadline, and they took a swing at Gensel. They weren't willing to put the prospects in that the Penguins wanted, so they didn't get them.
Yeah, like Roslovich,
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. I think they were, it sounds like they were in on Pacioretty, but he didn't go. So they unfortunately struck out in some things they wanted to do. But to me, Carolina and Florida are the best teams in the East. In the West, I think there's six teams that could win the West.
Yeah.
And the thing about Carolina I really like is last year in the Eastern Conference Final, they lost because they couldn't score. And they have this rule, we don't bend on rentals. We don't pay a lot for rentals. Well, sometimes you've got to change your plan. And this was the year for Carolina to change their plan. I like it. I like what they did.
Yeah, Gensel's a nice addition for them, for sure.
He is, and it's a big hole in Pittsburgh here.
Oh, yeah. The
Penguins, Elliott, losers
last night?
Of 6-0.
We did. We played the clip.
Oh.
Not
large portions of the bottom of the rink were empty well before the final buzzer.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, they were down.
And then we heard Sid after. We've never heard Sid so dejected, so down, and you just wonder, and listen, the internet, we know what the internet's all about, and people talking about Sid going somewhere else, but a lot of those type of nights for Sid, everybody's going to be talking about getting him out of there.
Yeah.
Like last night.
Yeah.
Where do you see this thing going?
Well, you guys both played at a really high level. Like, the one thing I'm thinking last night is, just think about their last week. 3-1 in Calgary with 10 minutes left. They don't even get a point.
Yeah. That was the season ender for me.
Yeah. Then they get killed in Edmonton. You come home and you play that game. And, I mean, how many times did you guys play where a guy gets traded out of your room who's really popular and you guys go out and get clobbered? Like, they got, like, that team did not want to play that game last night. Yeah. I don't know how anybody could have expected Crosby to react in any other way. And I think, Nick, one of the real challenges here is that I really think that Pittsburgh's plan was to try to keep Gensel. I think they wanted to trade other people and keep Gensel, but then they realized how bad things were going, and they said, if we really want to get pieces, that's the guy we have to trade. I think it's always, I think Crosby knew that this was possible, but then once you actually see it happen, it's like an arrow through you. Now, I believe that, I don't think there was any chance he was getting traded now. I think they have discussed on some level. Like, I think he knows what the plan is. I think he's filled in. I think he's been told. I think they've talked to him about an extension. But,
okay, if that's the case.
But here's the thing, too, Nick. Like, he's Malkin extended and Letang extended. Yeah. Do you see him walking on these guys?
No, I don't. But if he's on board with the plan, then you can't look as down and dejected as he did last night. He wore his heart on his sleeve.
I disagree with you on that. He still cares.
Yeah, he's Sidney Crosby. He cares.
He had no hope last night.
Yeah.
The hope is that we're going to make necessary moves to try to get better. And if he's on the program, he's got to start sending that message. And I'm not sure if they're completely on board here moving forward yet. I'm not convinced of that.
Yeah.
Based on what I saw last night, that doesn't tell me him and Kyle are completely aligned.
You know what, Nick here,
that's just my opinion. Yeah,
that's
all.
Fine. But here's the reason I don't overreact to last night. Like, again, you play at a really high level. Just imagine what a room is like. Gensel gets traded and your asses get kicked like that. Any player who cared would react like that in that moment. I can't tell you how many dress rooms I've gone into and seen a player react like that.
I guess the question at the heart of this, though, is Sidney Crosby going to leave the Penguins?
I don't think so. I could always be wrong. I don't think so either.
I think he wants to be like Mario, start with one team.
You just think he doesn't like the new regime and they're off to a bad start?
No, I'm not. I'm saying it's okay. It's all right to think that you want to retire a Penguin, but if he's experiencing something that even his head couldn't match the disappointment in him, and you're still competitive and you're still a 90-point guy a year, I think the wheels are turning right now on him a little bit.
You know what's different, too, about this is that for the first time since he's been there, really, when they started to turn and go up, this is the first time in maybe what? 16, 17 years where their manager didn't believe they were good enough to win.
Right. Where in other years, they just missed.
Every other year, like they added or they went for it or they kept everybody.
Yeah.
This is the first time in like 17 years where the manager said, you're not good enough.
Well, they say it's the worst in Pittsburgh that it's been before he got there.
I think the worst part is the hope factor where you look around and you go, all the guys we needed to be good were pretty good.
Yeah.
And now what? You know, like you're not guaranteed to get 90 from Sid next year. You're not guaranteed to get good goaltending.
And Sid's not guaranteed that the team won't be worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And right? So to me, and I am not an insider like the two of you, if it looks like it's going to get
me.
If it looks like it's going to get worse, and I'm competitive and I want to win cups.
It's something to think about.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he stays. I don't think after those two other guys extended, I can't see him walking. I could be wrong. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. Fair enough. Move on from Sid.
Yeah. Outside of that, any other surprises for you throughout the day on some teams being quiet here?
St. Louis.
Yeah, Buchnevich didn't go.
Yeah.
He was very expensive.
Yeah, Doug Armstrong seemed to indicate not a lot was going. Ottawa.
Yeah, the thing didn't
so
happen.
Quiet.
Yeah, Ottawa, I thought might. I think they were trying to add. I think they were actually trying to add maybe a veteran player. Ottawa was surprised me a little bit.
The Rangers.
Ottawa fans not loving Tarasenko going for the picks he did.
Oh, come
nothing
on.
Else
like,
happening.
You know,
I know he was.
It's his right to pick. He picks one team. What are you going to do?
Well, and you have the option to do what you said with Hanifin, where you say either you go somewhere else or you don't go at all. You know,
this is different. Yeah. I think that was a little bit different. I don't think
I agree that he got what he could and they did fine by it. But yeah. I think fans don't necessarily feel as positive about it.
Yes.
We've seen the trend the last few years, Elliot, of deals getting done like on a Tuesday or Wednesday instead of a Friday here. Is it strictly because of the salary cap being locked in and no growth there? Will it open up once the
cap gets
up? I think
it's going to open up this summer and next year.
Will we start seeing teams push the envelope up until 3 p.m. like we saw Hurdle and Vegas?
Well, you remember Vegas. Like Vegas has done this several times. I was thinking about this after. They use that 3 o'clock deadline to remember?
For no reaction from other clubs.
Well, also just as a pressure point. Like you remember when they traded for Mark Stone, it was like a 257. And today I think they... Like, there was San Jose had another player, Barabanov, the winger. They were trying to trade him, and they thought they were going to do it. And then all of a sudden, they only have one retention spot left. Yeah. And Vegas is like, hey, if you want to do Hurdle, you know, here it is right at the end. And, you know, Vegas is very good at that. They use that 3 o'clock deadline. Mm-hmm. And deadlines spur action. I think they do. I mean, I wish everybody was like Jim Rutherford, where... He came out and said, "All right, it's December. I'm ready to make my trades." But not everybody is like him.
Yeah,
you know, I'm hoping Nick with the cap. And the other thing too, Nick, is I've heard there have been some pretty aggressive salary cap projections, depending on who's doing them over the next few years. And I'm really hoping that loosens up everything.
Is there not a max growth per year, or can it?
No. I mean,
5%.
Well, no. The cap can go up whatever. There's an escalator.
Yeah.
The cap goes up whatever the revenues are.
Okay.
But also, don't forget that when they redid it over COVID, there were some different links and changes.
Which
but
they
that
didn't
eventually
maximize
changed.
the escalator. I think
they used to do it all the time.
All the time.
They used to do it all the time.
Put as much money as you can in the system, and that also caused high escrow, so it was double-edged sword.
But I've heard
sword.
There are some pretty, like some teams and have some pretty bold predictions about where it's going. I don't know if it's going to be right or wrong, but there are some teams apparently that have some pretty bold predictions.
You heard it here first. Leafs are going to extend Tavares 11 mil, 3 more years.
Sam just woke up over there. What did you think of their deadline, Toronto?
You know, I said when we were on the show earlier, I think it is at best a tepid endorsement by the GM who's watched this team and said, I know I can't sell here, but I don't necessarily believe this is a team that I want to pour a bunch of assets into. So I think they were a little hesitant. I still like the team a lot and feel like these guys will help, but...
there's nothing that happened for the Toronto Maple Leafs that will make people feel any differently about them going in as, I don't want to say big underdogs against Boston or Florida, mm-hmm. whoever they end up with, but they are underdogs. They are playing the underdog card for the first time in a while here, and you hope that it could be at their advantage.
But it's also the first year where they're not saying, okay, let's look around and see if the new guys fix it. Yeah. You know, where it's like, it's you, 34 and 16 and 88 and 91. It's you. Your team, go ahead. So I almost like the change in pressure there.
You know, I have to say, the one thing that surprised me about all this is that in a lot of ways, this should be the most likable Toronto team in a long time.
They're vicious out there now, but, you know, on Tavares and
think about
Matthews.
But think about it. They've been...
They turn.
In goal, it's been insane. Like, have any teams have as crazy goaltending as Toronto has this year? And also, on defense, they've had a revolving door of injuries and suspensions, too. Like, I think in a lot of ways, they've actually kind of punched above their weight this
year. Totally fair.
But, you know, people are...
So mad.
People are still
mad
so
four
mad.
Year yeah. ago losses.
I don't get it.
And they lost Lagesson.
Lagesson.
Leaf waiver claims continue.
Another depth guy, you know?
Lagesson, I thought this year there were times he was hugely important.
Yeah. He's a one-way NHL player to me. Yeah. I think he's a good player.
All right, pal, we're going to let you go and eat or sleep. Or what do you do? What do you do after a trade deadline?
We got to work tomorrow. We got a show tomorrow, so I'm going to sleep.
Oh, yeah. You'll be on your A game on that one. What happened?
You know what, Nick? I got to tell you, there were a couple of the times this week, like I put out one tweet where I said, Nashville claims Anderson Dolan from Nashville. Like, I had a couple this week that I was like, I am on the precipice of disaster here.
Okay, like, at the end of the day, like, if you didn't tweet that...
No, Nick, I'm sorry.
Would it matter?
No, you know what, Nick? You did this job, okay? Like, I know you. You know me.
Yes.
And you can break all the ones you want, but the one that you don't get bothers you the most.
But you're a Wiley. You're past that now. You're like a king right now.
No,
you got your chair. Call your shots.
No.
You should be looking at that going, that's not Elliot Friedman worthy, that transaction.
No, I don't. That's not the way it works at all. You want to you remember the ones you don't get, but you do.
You're awesome at what you do, and congratulations on a great day.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Okay. Appreciate your time, man.
And I look forward to the 25th Carolina. That's our next regional, right?
Yeah, we got a couple.
At least Carolina,
week.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Are we going to dress the same again? I get notes that we dressed
every
together
day.
The same.
Brian Perk just texted two ugly shirts. Thanks, pal.
Well, look at Elliot's. Yeah. Hey, Perky, look at the shirt Elliot's wearing.
Don't mock Shea.
All right.
MVP.
Elliot Friedman, everybody, from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we're back, we'll welcome back in Sammy on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bringing it home on trade deadline day on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. I had a soundbite for Elliot that I cut, and I forgot to play it for him.
What was it?
Derek, do we have it?
Nothing.
Just him saying nothing?
Nothing.
Well, there's more to that.
He cut the word nothing?
It was David.
Nice guys. We have some news breaking. Nice guys. Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick. What do you have?
Nothing official yet, I think.
Okay.
No.
Still not.
That went over like a lead balloon. I just told them to cut David Amber saying, we have breaking news. We're going to throw it over to Elliot. What do you have for us?
Nothing.
And then he says nothing. And then it was supposed to end.
Well, by they
should. And it was a hell of a lot more funny than what they just played, I assure you.
They got to get you a set at Yuck Yucks tonight. Oh, yeah.
There was nothing. There was nothing.
We get it.
If my producer wasn't watching golf all afternoon.
I wasn't watching golf.
I was right on top of everything. Me? Watching golf?
Why is a young buck like you not that interested in the trade deadline shows anymore?
I used to love
I the know. Trade deadline show. What happened?
X ruined it. It's like I can just scroll on my phone. I was locked in every day because somebody on TV would be telling me, this is what's happening. And I'd just be like, I'll watch golf.
Once upon a time, we were
kings.
We were the kings. It was awesome.
Do we have the other king with us today?
Do we have Mac?
I don't think we do yet.
We're going to get Doug McLean. He's just, I don't know.
He's probably pissed. It's 6:30. The guy's probably had a dinner reservation.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's late at night now.
Hey,
he's gonna be pissed right now.
I can tell.
That's a Lululemon hoodie right there.
What is going on?
It's a nice one.
So welcome in Doug McLean. Your favorite on Off the Rails Friday, former NHL president, GM, and now world-renowned author, I don't know, what else can I say about you?
That's pretty well. Well, I'm a lecturer at the University of Colorado or wherever it is, Concordia. You know.
So let me ask you, on a day like today, trade deadline day, do you miss the action of? Besides me calling you and bugging you?
You know, I gave you a couple of the deals last night that I thought would happen. And after that, I was trying to help you out, with what Dubas was going to do and a couple of things like that. But I can't say I like it as much as Elliot. I really can't say.
Wow, that's his bread and butter. That's his bread and butter.
He makes his name. I mean, you used to be one of those guys.
Yeah,
but I used to. It was a fun week, you know? I mean, Jimmy Rutherford started off on a nice note, and Vegas ended on a nice note, you know? So, I never, ever envisioned that injuries would become the critical part of trade deadline day. And it's overwhelmed everything else. If you're injured and you're on LTI, it's your team can improve themselves. And if you're on LTI, they can trade for you. It's unbelievable.
You're speaking of Vegas here now.
Yeah. And I don't, I got to tell you one thing. When I heard Hurdle went there, I was blown away. Just a minute. He's injured, but they did their homework. And full marks to Vegas. I know they're going to have $120 million payroll, but they did their homework. So I thought it was a good move.
Find the loophole.
Yeah, find the loophole and don't whine about it. Everybody's got fair opportunity, and the league don't whine about it. You guys missed the loophole when you were setting up the cap. You missed it, and now you win a cup with $120 million payroll. Imagine Edmonton and Vegas now in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Two teams that I thought had great deadlines. I love what Edmonton did with Henrik. I really do. I like the little fourth line centerman they got, Carrick. And I like Skecher. He's a competitive depth guy. I like what they did. Mm-hmm. And Edmonton won't be easy to beat, guys. They will not be easy to beat. So that'll be a great series. And, Pittsburgh.
What do you think?
I feel bad for Kyle. You know,
I'm sorry, Sid. You feel bad for Sid?
No.
I feel bad for Kyle because Sid's mad at him. Which is, you know, kind of unusual. But, I mean, I happened to watch the Chicago Wolves a little bit. I had watched the guy they got, the kid they got as a prospect. I didn't really like. I wasn't in love with their prospects, but I don't know them that well. Bunting, I'm not a fan of. I know Kyle likes him, and I know he's like, to me, on a 1-7 rating in the NHL, a 7 being a franchise player and 1 being a guy you don't want, to me, he's a 4.5. And they got a 6 for him. They got an impact player for him, a guy that scores big goals, can play with good players. I like what Carolina did a lot. And Kuznetsov, that makes me a little nervous, out of their character, but the guy can play. But Mantha, big body guy with 20 goals. Hanifin shows up and plays the other night because he really wants to be there. And then they pick up Hurdle. I mean, look, that's a great day for Kelly.
I want to read you a Tom Fitzgerald quote. Just talking about Markstrom, he says he doesn't mince words on the goalie market. There is a market. People performing have set that market. All I'm trying to do is be fair in that market, but you also need a team that wants to make fair deals rather than extorting you for every big asset you have. Talking presumably about Craig Conroy and what they were trying to get for Markstrom. How do you feel about... like, are GMs trying to do fair trades? This helps me, this helps you, or are you trying to go out there and win a trade, trying to get all you can out of a guy?
Look, I talked to Lindy after he got fired the other night. He said, you know, it's kind of frustrating. We outshoot the team 55-33, and we lose 3-1 in my last game I coached. What's that tell you? I mean, hey, I love Tommy Fitzgerald. He played for me. He's a quality person. I think the world of him. But this should have been done 2 months ago.
Mm.
The goaltending situation, if you think you're a playoff contender, which they were, and I know they had some tough injuries, I get that. But look, you can't let it go till this late to try to get a goaltender. I thought it should have been done 2 months ago. And it cost them a playoff spot, in my opinion. So, you know, tough beans. That's just the way it goes, you know. And I know the goalie market's tough, and I know Markstrom, you know, it fell through the cracks for whatever reason. But and maybe Tommy did work for a couple of months to try to get it, but he didn't get it done. Colorado catching it a little.
Okay, hold on. Just one more question on the goaltending in New Jersey and Jake Allen. Is this to ease the pain of the last 20 games for the likes of Luke Hughes? You trying to protect him a little bit here?
You know what? I don't understand why you would take Jake Allen. I mean, if you didn't get, is Jake going to get them in the playoffs? What are they out of the playoffs right now? And how many?
No, teams they're not. They're not going to make it.
But why would you bring in Jake Allen?
Well, just to settle these guys down, though, so they don't get buried there, don't get their heads caved in the last 20 games. That's the only thing I can think of.
That's the only thing. Well, you've thought of it, and there's no sense me commenting on it. I thought it was a wasted acquisition, couple of phone calls, a wasted couple of phone calls getting Jake Allen for me. And I like Jake, but I don't see any value in it.
What is your deadline experience like, Doug? Like, did you do any sort of deals at the last second there? How much did you enjoy being a part of the frenzy leading up to the final minutes?
You know what? It was always a fun time. You know, you have your group together in the war room and, you know, the calls are coming. You know, a lot of my experience was getting rid of money, which was really a frustrating part of the job. Yeah. It's like, okay, we've got to get rid of Sanderson's money. We've got to get rid of Sador's money, you know, like coming from the top. And that bothered me, but it was still a fun time at trade deadline. We made lots of moves, and it's an exciting time. It's not the draft, but it certainly is one of the great days of the year for a general manager. And it starts when you start with your pro meetings a month before the deadline, and it follows right through. So look, some teams did some great things. I mean, I look at Carolina, they've got a chance. Florida have improved their team with a couple of subtle moves. Lots of teams improve themselves. Like, who's coming out of the West, guys? Like, how many teams? I'll tell you, somebody did a great job at the deadline, and nobody's talking about them, I don't think, is Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
With what they were up against, with what Craig was up against, Conroy, and what he came out of it with prospects, full marks to Calgary. And they will not be an easy out even the rest of the year, the way this team plays. They play hard.
Byron for Casey Mittelstadt. You like that one?
I've never been. And hey, look, I love Chris McFarland. He was with me for 11 years in Columbus. I think the world of him. Byron, what happened to him? I thought he was going to be a superstar. I really did.
Well, he had injuries early.
I know. He had a lot of injuries this year. Mittelstadt has always been in and out for me. He's looks like a superstar one night, and you can't find them the next night. You know, they thought they did great things bringing in Ryan Johansson. Like, are you serious? I mean, and then they have to give a first-round pick to get rid of him, to get him out of there. Like, I mean, I know they got Walker back, but seriously, they had to give up a first-round pick.
They're going to buy him out this summer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But I'm saying they had to give up a first-round pick to move him. along, I mean, with Walker, I get that, you know, to acquire Walker, but that was a disaster. So I don't know where that goes. Byron, to me, I mean, it gives Buffalo a pretty good look on their back end for me if he gets through the injury, you know, bug. So, and look, maybe Mittelstadt will go in there and be a star. He's had a good year, but he's been way too inconsistent for me in his career. And is he a number two guy? That's what they think he is. I'm not sure he is. I'm not sure he's the guy at playoff time. That's all.
Is Gensel enough to make Carolina fans believe that they can go toe-to-toe with Florida or the Boston Bruins?
Oh, that's a really tough one. They've got a good team, but what has cost Carolina the last couple of years at playoff time? What has been there? I know
the goalies.
Yeah, but what else?
The goalies.
Yeah, exactly. The goalies. Which one of three is going to play? Who's going to play?
Freddie.
You know? Flip a coin. So that, to me, is bothersome. You know, you love Aho. You love their team. You love their coaching staff. You like their blue line. I don't think they're as good as Florida, but, you know, they're a pretty good team. And Gensel will fit in really well with Aho or whoever he's with. He'll be a – because he scores big goals at critical times. So I like what they did, but, I mean, can they come out of the East? Florida, look, you never know, guys. Boston lost in the first round last year when they had a 3-1 series lead. We don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. And every year it goes south. If Bobrovsky goes south in Florida, which he's capable of doing, all bets are off.
They're all capable of it.
They're all capable.
Vasilevsky, Shesterkin's not money in the bank anymore in New York.
No. And Wenberg, like Columbus couldn't wait to get rid of Wenberg for whatever reason. Then he goes to Seattle. He's a pretty solid guy. You know, you like what he brings. But the Rangers, to me, didn't do enough to get it done. So, but look, who knows? Winnipeg had a pretty good day. Chevy had a pretty good day, guys, you know?
Pat Maroon went to Boston. They going to beat up on the Leafs in round one or what?
They didn't need Maroon to beat up on the Leafs.
Oh, the Leafs held their own. They showed more than they have in the past, Mac, as far as the foot soldiers out there. I don't know about the Stars last night, but
they were outscored 9-2 in two games. What do you mean they held their own? What are you talking about? They held their own. They held on to each other in a couple of skirmishes, but they sure as hell didn't hold on. Good God. What are you talking about?
All right.
I know Marner got points, so you're happy.
Marner scored a nice goal. And then
beautiful goal, yeah.
Kind of limped off
and
the ice.
What? Hey, listen, I liked what Bourne said there a little earlier. You know, this is the team. This is maybe with no pressure, they'll get it done in the first round. I'll tell you what. I'm not saying it would not surprise me that Toronto beats Boston in the first round. It would not surprise
even after
me.
You just lambasted me for your 9-2 when it was really 8-2 score.
The playoffs are a different season, Nick. You know that.
All right.
You know?
You confident
I'm trying to be thoughtful here.
Willie Nylander can go toe-to-toe with Pasternak. I know physically he can't, but can he go as far as being as dangerous?
They screwed up. They should have got Alex Nylander. He got a hat trick in Columbus. I can't believe he didn't score. John Davidson's biggest trade in his career. Alex Nylander, Bumstrom, or whatever his name is. Anyway.
Hey, how do you feel about a team like Nashville buying assets at the deadline here when, you know, they're Nashville?
I was blown away by that.
Yeah.
I really was. I'm trying to think, why? Wait till the summer and, you know, but Barry, you know, Barry said he's a first-time GM. I'll tell you who surprised me at the deadline was Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah, quiet.
Quiet. And their team is right there. They're right there. They're playing well. They got games in hand, and they're right there to make the playoffs. So that surprised me a little bit. Roslovic to the Rangers? Why? Why would they do
well,
that?
They were. I think
somebody help me with that one.
I think they were sniffing on Vetrano in Anaheim.
I would have taken Jeff. The Rangers should have taken Jeff Rimmer ahead of Russ LeMay.
He must get paid for Jeff Rimmer drop.
Yes. Yes. You know, he should have dropped you years ago as a friend. I'm going to call him up right now and say, that's enough. That's enough.
If he would have dropped me as a friend, he wouldn't have got the job in Columbus because he drove me crazy. You ever heard the story, eh? During the lockout, Florida were paying him $250 a week. And you know how important money is to Jeff. And he phoned me every day. Can you believe they're only paying me $250 a week? So I said, Jeff, I felt sorry for him and I hired him. And I gave him $500 a week during the lockout. And he was happy as a clam. And now they're going to honor him. As the great, he's the new Danny Galvin.
In Columbus.
Foster Hewitt. Anyway.
That guy's just. He's,
poor Jeff Rimmer takes Jeff more Rimmer. Strays on this show.
We're going to do an off the rails Friday with you and Jeff.
Just Jeff.
No, just Jeff. And then he's just going to just rip you.
Okay, listen. I'm avoiding him because I do not want to get invited to his retirement ceremony. I went in for Nash. I don't want to go in for him. I don't.
You're the guest of honor, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, do you miss trade deadline day at Sportsnet with me? Because once upon a time, me, you, and Millard did some fun things, including, I'm going to throw to Derek Brindale for another clip. Do you have it, Derek? No? Oh, my gosh. I'm 0 for 2.
I missed the deadline so much today that I almost missed coming on because I had forgot all about it. That's how much I missed it.
It was, I wanted them to play me, you, when Darren's with the George Strombo thing that we did where you said, they said Nick Kypriou got traded and all you said was, thank God for who? And the flip phone. That's remember the flip phone?
That was my only line I had.
Well, listen, Sportsnet—they don't resort to that stuff now. They don't need that. They're so good right now. They don't need us doing like SNL skits. That's for sure.
May not go that far, but I'm not going to say anything.
We got to go.
Yeah, you better get me off the air quick. Say something.
Even on trade deadline day, you could just drive it in the ditch once again.
I know.
Thanks for doing this, Doug.
It was a boring day for me.
All right.
Take care, guys. Hey, guys, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
It.
All right.
Thanks, Mac.
Go to your wine. Go to your beach. Go to your Porsche. Go to your RV. He's nuts.
That was mine.
Just killing Jeff Rimmer.
People even know who Jeff Rimmer is. No, he's the Columbus Blue Jackets play-by-play
guy.
Yeah. That's insane.
I wouldn't if it wasn't for Doug McClain, but I'm glad I do. And we're going to have Rimmer on now.
Yeah, let's have him on 100%. With him. Let's do a Zoom chat with all of us.
Stadler and Waldorf we'll just, up there.
They will. They'll be like the old puppets on the Muppets.
Yeah.
The old guys.
The old puppet Muppets.
Yes, the old puppet.
Sounds about right.
All right, I'm pretty much spent today. This is really strange. The extra hour we came in, we did a hit for the trade deadline day, which was good.
Fabulous.
But it's just really my rhythm's off. As you can tell, I'm calling for stuff that's not coming in. That's just not me. I'm a pro.
You are, but the league has been reorganized. We'll come back here on Monday, regroup.
A lot of hockey words this week.
Yes,
a lot of hockey games,
radio, all that. It's been good.
Yeah. All right. How many games did you say on tap tonight?
Four tonight.
And next year, you'd rather have no games on trade deadline. That's what you told me? It doesn't really matter.
Don't care.
Well, because you watch golf anyways.
Oh, here we go.
Scotty Scheffler.
Buddy, it's the Arnold Palmer. It's the first big one of the year. Let's go.
All right. Our thanks to Brad Treliving, general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Doug McClain.
Freege.
Yep. Yeah, you got me. How come you got to look after me better my buddy JB.
It's Friday. Sammy. Be nicer. Who cares?
Have a great weekend, everybody. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. Love to hear from you. And we're back on Monday on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.